Diary, April 18, 99. Kurrenbong, New South Wales, Australia. April 1st to 25th, 1899. Sunnyside, Kurrenbong. Elders Daniels and Starr attended the meeting and took the services. I was much pleased to have them do this. There was meeting in the morning or at 11 o'clock, preaching, and in the evening. In the afternoon, there were the ordinances of feet washing and of sacrament. The meetings were interesting and profitable. We had conversation with Elder Daniels in regard to the necessities of special work being done in Melbourne and in Adelaide. Sunnyside, Kurrenbong. We met Brother Pocock and his family at the station. It is a very hot day. His little son, 4 years old, is sick, and he was taken in hand at once by Sarah McInterfer. The child walked in the heat 3 miles, and it is feared he had a sunstroke. He seemed much better, and we moved them into the little two-room cottage, hoping they would now do well. But in the night, at 12 o'clock, a messenger came for Sarah McInterfer to come and see what could be done for the child. He was very, very sick. She found the child a great sufferer, in very much pain, and she thought the appearance manifested was of acute poisoning. The discharges were dark green. He has not been able to eat. Can retain nothing in his stomach. Throws it up. A telegram was sent for Dr. Rand. This day I walked out with W.C. White and Brother James, my farmer, to see a piece of land which it is for our interest to secure, and which has been offered by the woman who owns it, 100 acres for £100. If it can be secured, we shall have a place to build houses as close as possible to the school lands, but reserve the land all around the school buildings free from cottages. The land is not the best, but will be good for orchard. We set on foot inquiries in regard to this piece of land. It has been raining this day, very gently, but it is gratefully received. We feared we should have to empty our underground cistern to accommodate the school, for there is a dearth of water. Oh, how thankful we ought to be to our Heavenly Father for this rain. It helps every family. The tanks were all empty but our own. We are very careful in such a time to have no water wasted. We took 2 long sheets of iron roofing to Brother Lord to put on his house, or shanty, he now occupies. 2 sections have been taken off. Sunnyside, Kurrenbong. It has been raining today. All day the rain has been falling, in gentle showers at first, but soon it was a downpour, and our men, Brethren Constant and James, have been very busy. Brother Lord received telegram to meet the parliamentary emissaries, and our team had to take him to the station. The team was going through the heavy rain, and it had increased to a tempest, blowing down trees and flooding all our lower garden land many feet deep. The perilous condition of the child kept us all in commotion. We feared it would not live until Dr. Rand should come. It makes a wonderful trouble in this country if a doctor is not present to give his deposition and sign a certificate. But they can keep their liquor houses doling out the liquid poison to all who shall pay them the money for liquor, selling their reason and meeting with accidents, being thrown from carts, run into by trains, and every conceivable accident. But the sale of the liquor goes on just the same. Oh, consistency, thou art a jewel. Evening. What a strange day this has been. Nearly all the time some members of my family have been hurrying, driving out in the rain. How furiously the wind has been blowing. I pity those who are on the high seas at such a time as this. The sick boy is relieved, but is in a most critical condition. It is something we cannot solve. The appearance is that the boy is poisoned, but how, we cannot imagine. Sarah was called to the sick home, and Sister Peck accompanied her. Sister Rob is solicited to take the children for the night. Sarah has had scarcely any rest or sleep. This beautiful little lad must be saved if possible. We are doing all that human skill can do. I have given up Sarah and Sister Peck to do all they possibly can to save the child. There is no letting up. The child seems to be poisoned, and how, we cannot understand. Sunnyside, Kurrenbong. I arose and dressed at 3:15. It is raining quite hard. We do long for the sunshine once more. Sunnyside, Kurrenbong. I awoke at 2:15. I can only lie and think if I do not rise and dress. This I have done. My soul is drawn out after God. I must have heavenly wisdom that I may know when to speak and how to speak intelligently at all times to reflect light. I must draw my strength from God every hour. He is my wisdom, my sanctification, and my righteousness. Sunnyside, Kurenbong. I awoke very early, and my soul was weighed down with a burden of perplexity. We obtained no relief in the financial question, but we seemed to be full of anxiety and sorrow for the family of Brother Pocock. It will be a miracle if the child recovers. If we only knew what he had been eating, but we cannot know this. I asked the mother to find out from the oldest children in regard to the matter. At noon, received an American mail. Not many letters, but I am greatly relieved by the encouragement given of sending us financial help. Letters came from Dr. Kellogg, which relieved my mind greatly. Friday, in early morning, commenced to write. Sunnyside, Kurenbong. I thank the Lord I am better than I was yesterday. I shall attend the meeting. Elder Colcord is sick, is recovering, but not well. We took Sarah down to the afflicted family. We learned that the little lad died a few moments before. His funeral would be next day at 3 o'clock. He had no struggle. He just breathed his life away. It was a painful ordeal for the father and the mother, but they knew everything that human care and skill could do had been done. We knew also that we had done all that we could do. We could only say, "The will of the Lord be done." The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job 1, verse 21. We had an important meeting. We brought up Brother Colcord and his wife and baby in our carriage to the meeting. The house of God was well filled. Brother Palmer led out in the meeting, giving some of the experiences of the last few months, our financial embarrassment, and no way out of the difficulty. Could get no help from the banks. They would not lend us money. Then he related how Elder Daniels had to disconnect from his work in the school, his teaching in Bible lines, and go to Melbourne, visit Ballarat and Adelaide, and see if he could not arrange to obtain some means so essential for us at this time. The last night before he left, he was out in the bush all night in prayer, and assurance and comfort and the peace of Christ came into his heart, and he went on his way of good courage with assurance that help would come. And when we were all tied up on every side, every avenue closed, still we prayed on and believed, and the Lord had help for us on the way. Before the Sabbath, the bulletin gave the relief and encouragement we needed. Our honor was at stake, and when we knew not what to do, the word came, "Go forward." Exodus 14, verse 15. We had come apparently to the Red Sea, and then the waters opened before us. He then read the circumstances of that meeting of the General Conference in South Lancaster, Massachusetts, and the donations made. One captain not of our faith was present at this meeting in a providential way and pledged $5,000. This revealed the hand of the Lord. I spoke to the people on the same line in the meeting in the afternoon. Sunnyside, Kurenbong. I was able to sleep until 3 o'clock a.m. This day will be quite filled up with responsibilities. The afflicted Pocock family are to lay their darling little boy, 4 years old, in the grave, and everything is to be prepared for suitable clothing for the mother and children. I wish I could describe the way the dear little child was simply but so nicely cared for in his last sleep, in his little bed. Everything was simply prepared. A box was made in which to lay the little body. The rough boards were covered with material that was not costly, but everything was tasty and very neat and nice. And I should think no more could have been done than was done to make this severe affliction as light as possible, by giving the greatest attention and devoted care to alleviate the sufferings of the dear child and to save his life. Sister Rob and Sarah McKenterfer watched and worked and rested not until the breath left the body. And then the body had to be cared for properly. Appropriate remarks were made at the funeral by Brother Hughes. W. C. White and I were obliged to fill an appointment 3 miles away at Dora Creek. We had an open-air meeting. There were about 90 present. I had freedom in speaking to those assembled. The fishermen grouped together at a little distance, while the congregation grouped together, some sitting on the grass, some standing. The Lord gave me words for the occasion. W.C. White also was very free in speaking to those assembled. Had we understood the child would die and the funeral be at the same hour, we would have arranged our appointments so that I could have been at the funeral. There was quite a congregation in the chapel at the funeral services. The school children, the younger class, sang the favorite hymns of the little lad, and everything was appropriate. These two meetings held at the same time were important occasions, and with the blessing of God will certainly make a right impression upon the minds of all present. Sunnyside, Kurenbong. I awoke about 2 o'clock a.m. and prepared my letters to send to Africa and America. While I was busily writing, Brother Lord came to see me. There is a great desire that his wife shall be made comfortable before he shall undertake the canvassing work. His son and his son's wife are now attending the funeral of his son's wife's mother, the woman who, a few weeks since, when her daughter was baptized, tried to prevent her from going forward in baptism. The constable had to interfere and tell her to desist. The mother and sister disown her and called down all the judgments of God upon Mrs. Lord, the mother of the son who married the daughter. Then the mother of the daughter and her own brother tried to force her that she should not go forward in the ordinance of baptism, charging her with disgracing the family. Finally, the mother cursed her daughter and cursed Mrs. Lord, her daughter's mother-in-law, charging her with being the one who had influenced her daughter. Then she knelt down and offered a blasphemous prayer that her daughter and her mother-in-law should be sick and never get well and die. These curses, so blasphemous, recoiled on her own head. Only a few weeks had passed when she was taken suddenly ill, and her daughter, with her child and with her husband, attended the funeral of the mother. But the judgment of God did not soften the hearts of the other members of the family. When the one who had been baptized was seated at the table to partake of food, her brother and wife would not eat with her, but declared they would not sit at the table with her and would not sleep in the house where she and her family were. They left the wicked, exasperated family to find accommodations with Brother and Sister Star. What a history is this, in the year 1899, religious animosity against those who follow the convictions of their own conscience. I had an interview with our brethren. What could we do with Brother Lord and his family? I could not bear the responsibilities that came upon me. I had done all for them I could. I had hired 3 of the boys, boarded them, paid them. Some earn £1 per week, and all would not accomplish as much as 1 able-bodied man. But this is their only resource, and we must do this. I slept until 2:30 a.m. American mails goes today before daylight. I have written 6 pages of letter paper. Call up my copyists and they send this letter off. And now the preparations are to be made to feed those who have been invited to donate their work on the land. Sarah and my farmer, Brother James, have been soliciting donations, workers to clear the land for the hospital. For 2 days there has been this work of inviting help. Brethren Belden and James and Lord went to look at a place that Hardy had been occupying, but there is no show for them there. The place they have is unfit to be occupied, and something must be done, for this large family must not become discouraged. This is our work, to try to save them. We had dinner on the grounds near the chapel, then, as it was misting strongly, went into the chapel and several speeches were made. Over 1 hour was occupied. And then, as the mist and gently falling rain had lightened, something more was done in taking out the trees. There has been quite a work done in taking out the trees. A proposition was made to donate more than 15 acres to the hospital. This would mean more land to clear, but would give a chance for those who were brought to the hospital to have light work to do on the land. We see this hospital must go up at once, for it is greatly needed. I awoke at 2:00 a.m. This day is to be the preparation day to clean the building. Tomorrow the dedication of the largest school building takes place. Thursday at 6:00 the first meeting was held in the main school building. This early hour was chosen as appropriate to accommodate those who had worked with decided interest on the building. There was assembled the entire company of students and principal, preceptor, and teachers. W. C. White, and Brethren Palmer and Hughes spoke. I then spoke to the students and all present 30 minutes. At the close of the exercises, there was the dedicatory prayer. The Lord gave freedom as we invited His presence to preside over the entire school through the term just now commencing. This is preparation day for the Sabbath. I wrote a letter of several pages to Elder Haskell and Elder Tenney, who are engaged in the work at Brisbane. We thank the Lord that a chapel has been erected and dedicated, free from debt, 1 week ago last Sunday. The last letter from Elder Haskell reports 50 souls converted to the truth, and now they are at work in another locality where there has been a deep interest, 5 miles from where the church building has been erected. They are now contemplating engaging in the medical missionary work and the food manufacturing business, if they can obtain money to do this work. Our hospital is not yet advanced in the building. The land is being cleared preparatory to building. We need a hospital so much. Sarah McIntyre was called Thursday to see if she could do anything for Brother Palmer's little son, 18 months old. For several days he has had painful swelling on the knee, supposed to be from the bite of some poisonous animal. Pulverized charcoal, mingled with flaxseed, was placed upon the swelling. This poultice gave relief at once. The little lad had screamed with pain all night. This gave relief, and the child slept. Today she attended to the afflicted little one, visiting him twice, and seeing the condition of the knee, she opened the swelling in 2 places. A very large amount of yellow matter and blood discharged freely, and the child was relieved of its great suffering. Thank the Lord that we may become intelligent in using the simplest things within our reach to alleviate pain and successfully remove the cause of the pain. Sister McIntyre had been at home only a short time from the medical missionary work when a Mr. Johnson, living miles away, came in great distress of mind for his 3 suffering children to receive treatment. He had sent for a doctor, but he gave them some mixture of magnesia and water, which gave no relief. He was unable to restrain himself in his great anxiety while Sarah was getting her treatment facilities ready to be used. He said the children had eaten green, unripe fruit, and he thought they would die before he could bring them help. He had come in a boat on Dora Creek, Sunnyside, Kurrenbong. Sabbath was a very solemn and interesting day to those who love and fear the Lord. We have many fears that many who have had the light of truth and do not practice the truth will gradually lose all knowledge of the truth. Their light will go out in darkness. Sunnyside, Kurrenbong. We attended a meeting in the open air. I had special freedom in speaking from John 3, verse 1 to 4. There were 60 people, more than we expected. We are trying to draw these people. We have as good singing as we can obtain without an instrument, and we think it is quite as interesting. The effort had been made to obtain seats. They arranged them in a half circle, and my voice was clear, and all could hear. Some women and children were seated upon the ground upon our lap robes. We feel well pleased with the perfect order. Some in their carriages were stationed close by the fence that enclosed the paddock. We are sure that some seed fell upon good ground. There is Mr. Pringle and Mr. Conley, who are about ready to decide to obey the truth. They listened with great attention. Some of the number were Catholics and would not have entered one of our churches. We thank the Lord that for the first time we had the opportunity of speaking to Martinsville. We shall be obliged to speak in the open air at Morissette Station, for there is no house that could contain the people. We feel deeply for this people. We are on missionary soil. We wish to have all who can cultivate their voice for speaking and for singing. There is altogether too little interest taken in voice culture, and the voice is a sacred gift of God. All the conditions and circumstances of life are very solemn and bring us under obligation to God to use every talent to the glory of God. All our powers are for use, not for waste, but to be educated and trained for the glory of God. We are to do Him service in every season of worship. There is to be the cultivation of the voice, overcoming all harshness, all strange accents. Speech is a great talent. We advise every student in our school who has an ear for music to make the most of every opportunity of learning how to improve the voice, both in music and in singing. The Lord expects everyone to do His best. Wednesday has been a very busy day with us. Sunnyside, Kurenbong. We awakened at 2:30. Oh, how we long for the Holy Spirit of God to be with us on all occasions, but especially at this time when means is being raised to carry forward the work of God. We long to see it moving and extended more than it now is. There are many places that need work done in them.
We met at the school building to consider the plan drawn by our builder, Brother Thompson. We worked with all our ingenuity to diminish the outlay of means, but there then comes to mind several things that have been outlined before me that makes me feel we will make a mistake if we attempt to curtain the expense by cutting out 4 feet of the plan, which diminished in both stories amounts to 8 feet of room. There come to my mind things that have been deeply impressed upon me in the necessity for much better facilities in the bathrooms, conveniences in room, a massage table, and a cot on which to give packs. There is where the impressions will be made upon all minds. All these things make their impression. Conversation will sometimes arise. Words will be spoken that will open a flood of light to the patient as to methods of caring for the body, the temple of God. There must be the greatest care to preserve decency and strict purity in conversation and in every action. A small, crowded bathroom leaves impressions on the mind of cheapness and commonness, which should not be. Everything that pertains to the human structure should be spoken of, if at all, as God's property. He made it, and He will care for the body. Ye are the temple of the living God. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16. You are not your own. Ye are bought with a price. Therefore the solemn injunction is given. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. In no case should women nurses give treatment or massage and packs to men, or men to women. Let everything in the bathroom be done decently and in order. The Lord would have Seventh-day Adventists ever consider that they bear the badge of loyalty to God in the observance of the Sabbath. He has sanctified and blessed and hallowed it. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between men and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Exodus 31, verse 12, 13. The Sabbath was to be Israel's sign, stamped with the government mark. We left Kurenbong accompanied by Maggie Hare and Sarah McEnterfer for Newcastle. We went directly to Newcastle. Waited for a train. Brother Connell was waiting for us, and he carried our luggage to the train. I wrote a number of pages of letter paper. Spoke in forenoon to a goodly number of people. The Lord gave me a message for them. Sunday at 3 p.m. I had an appointment at Wall's End. I spoke to a goodly number assembled in the hall. The people seemed interested, and they need labor. We rode in train 10 miles, then rode after the meeting 3 miles to Cockle Creek. Took the cars for Dora Creek, only 2 passengers, Sarah and myself. We had a severe shaking up. We found teams waiting for us at the station and were glad to be at home again. Sunnyside, Kurenbong. Awoke at 2:00 and commenced my writing at 3. I have important matter which I wish to give to the doctors in our institutions. I hear Dr. Caro and Brother Morse are to be here early this morning before breakfast to hear what I have to say to them. I spoke to them about 1 hour upon the principles which should be brought into our institution, and they felt the Lord had given me the message to them. We then conveyed them to the Morissette station with our horses and carriage, and after we came back we took Brother Rand to the station at Dora Creek. We have many perplexities to meet. We see everything pressing in upon us, and we have no money to handle these things. Dr. Kellogg sent us £250, but this had to go at once to pay workmen on the school building. We did suppose our statement of our necessities would have brought immediate relief, as the money was raised when the bulletin came to us. But the matter has gone into the papers, so that it is considered a sure matter that we are well supplied with funds. We are supplied with anticipations, and that is all, with the exception of the draft from Dr. Kellogg. I was saying, W.C. White, you must take hold of my writings. I can delay no longer. It is supposed you are helping me, but you are not doing this.
Now I need your help and must have it. He gravely told me he must go to Sydney at once. There was only 1 hour for him to get to Morisset Station to see if Elder Daniels, just back from Melbourne, had not means for the school which will let us out of this pressure. Oh, how we are hampered. Everyone is congratulating us, and we are pressed under the load of financial embarrassment which our brethren in America seem not to comprehend. I am left with a very great burden on me, and I must have help. Brother Colcord is not well, and he cannot help me. W.C. White is constantly trying to keep things going that they shall not quite stop.
I wish to say the light given is that the stations from Morisset to Sydney must be worked, and from Corranbong to Newcastle, Maitland, and Singleton, where there is a decided interest to hear, and on to Queensland and on to West Australia. The word comes, who shall go for us, and whom shall we send? We have no light who shall and can do this work. But it must be done. Sunnyside, Corranbong. It is clear and cold this morning. I awakened at 3:30. We see many perplexities, but if we trust in the Lord, He will work in our behalf. We will not look at the things which are seen, but at the things that are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are unseen are eternal. It is supposed by the people in Australia and America, because of the things that have been published in the bulletins and Review and Herald, which have a large circulation, that the Lord will go before us, to continue to work the new fields, and to open before us new fields that have never yet been worked. But we are in just as great perplexity and real want and close pressure as ever we have been. The workmen, seeing these facts published, now come with importunate solicitations for us to pay them for their work, and we have not a pound to do it with. We keep 3 young men unused to labor and give them 0.5 crown each per day. They do as well as boys unused to physical labor can be expected to do. We could better hire 1 able-bodied man, but here is a large family of 7 hardy children, and they need food. What can they do if we stop paying them? It is cutting off every source of supply for that family. Why did not our brethren in America be as zealous to send the means they had raised as to publish the fact, and we be in no wise helped? The president of the California Conference publishes he had sent Sister White $1,400, as though it were a gift. It was my own money, that $1,400, invested to save the Healdsburg School, through Mrs. Scott. I agreed to settle the indebtedness of Mrs. Scott to me by taking shares in the Healdsburg College, with assurance that they would help me to take other shares off my hands. Then comes a notice from the Pacific Press that they had ordered $1,000 sent, but we have not seen the $1,000. I wish we had it. If our brethren in America could have had any idea of our situation, a portion of that money that has been raised would come into our hands, for we are in a great strait, tied up fast for want of money. Why did not our brethren send the means and not keep us bound about? How long this stress will last, we cannot tell, but God forbid His name should be dishonored.